This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. It's Pastor Brian de Villiers. I'm so glad to be with you again this morning as we study the Word of God together. We're going to continue with our series today on the studies on the life of Christ. I want to take up the subject this morning, the splendor of His transfiguration. I want to read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, and I read from verses 1 to 9, and this is what it says. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. Now, perhaps one reason why the subject of the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ has been so neglected is the fact that we are apt to feel that there is something unpractical or even mystical about the event. We do not doubt for a moment that it took place exactly as recorded in the three evangelists, in the three gospels. And we stand in awe as we gaze upon this holy mount. And we read here today from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. And this is what 2 Peter is saying to us this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I want to read to you here from verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 1, and this is what it says to us. Notice what these words are conveying to you and to I this morning. It says this, And when we heard this voice which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. Those are the words of Peter. And I want you to get that. He says, when we were with him on the holy mount. But there are many practical lessons in this event, in our Lord's life for us. And please make sure that you go over this today and to read the accounts in all the Gospels. I read it to you this morning from Matthew chapter 17, 1 to 9. And you can go read it also from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 10. And then in Luke's Gospel chapter 9, verse 28 to 36. And notice the fact that the transfiguration is marked a division in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. So far, this has been a certain extent popular and public, but now it was to become private until he reached Jerusalem and died upon the cross. But for whose benefit did this event take place? Number one, Moses and Elijah appeared on the scene and conversed with our Lord Jesus Christ. But surely he was not transfigured for their benefit. Number two, some have suggested that this experience on the mount took place in order to strengthen our Lord for the great redeeming task which lay ahead of him. He would soon undertake that task, and this experience was given in order to confirm him in his intention to be the sin bearer of all the people. There's any truth in this suggestion, it is certainly not the primary reason for the transfiguration. Number three, our Lord took Peter, James, and John into the mount, was transfigured before them. And that is what it tells us here in Matthew that we've read already this morning. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. You got that? That's what it's telling us about the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely it was primarily for their benefit that he was transfigured. And let me also say, and it was for ours too. What lessons are there for us to learn from this Holy Mount experience? Let us join Peter, James, and John in imagination. And what do we see? Number one, what we see is this. We see that a glorious person our Lord Jesus Christ really is. Because in Matthew chapter 17, verse 2, it says, "And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light." You've got that? That's what it tells us. Now, if we turn to Mark's Gospel again, and this is what we read in Mark's Gospel chapter 9. And in Mark's Gospel chapter 9, we are told these very words. Mark's Gospel chapter 9, verse 3. "His clothes became shining, exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them." Did you get that? No one can whiten them. And then from Luke, we read this in chapter 9 and verse 29, when the voice they heard, and then Jesus was found alone. They heard the voice, and Jesus was found alone. It's very significant. It was Jesus only. What actually happened? They saw the Lord Jesus in all the splendor of his own perfect character. The majesty of his own inherent glory shone forth upon the countenance and through the very garments he wore. Moses and Stephen reflected that glory of the Lord. You remember when Moses went up to fetch the law, it tells us in Exodus 29, it says his face shone. They had to put a veil over his face. His face shone because he had been with the Lord. And in Acts chapter 6, verse 15, they saw the face of Stephen. His face shone. But this was different. This was not reflected glory resting upon him. It was his own inherent glory shining forth from him. This is the vision we need, a vision of the splendor and the majesty of the one who is the brightness of his Father's glory, the express image of his person. Hebrews 1 verse 3 tells that. He is the one that we are told of in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 verse 16. He's altogether lovely. Have you found him to be so in your life? Number two, I want us to get this. We see our Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, and that he is the preeminent one. And while they were on the mount, Moses and Elijah appeared before them. That's what we read when we read the account in Matthew chapter 17. And in Matthew 17, which we have read already this morning, verse 3 says, "And behold, Moses, Elijah appeared with to him, talking to him." They were talking to him. The impetus, Peter suggested making three tabernacles, or he was trying to say, let us make three booths, so they could all stay on the mount. That's what he said. And we read here in, again, Matthew 17, verses 4 and 5, "And Peter answered and said, Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, or booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Do you hear that? What happened? Immediately, the cloud overshadowed them. And what we read now, the voice came out of it. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You got to listen to him." Then what happened? They saw no man save Jesus only. Do you get that? They saw no man save the Lord Jesus only. God will never allow anyone to be placed on the same level as his Son. Jesus stands alone. And we need to hear that clearly. That's why it tells us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 36, when the voice they heard the voice, Jesus was found alone. Jesus was found alone. And I think that is significant for us. We need to hear what Jesus has to say. We need to see Jesus only above everything else, because that is the gospel. The gospel is about Jesus Christ and him coming to earth to save a lost humanity. Number three, listen to the conversation between Moses and Elijah and Jesus. There's the conversation. What were they talking about? And I want us to get the fullness of this morning. What were they talking about? We turn here to Luke's Gospel, and we read here from verses 30 and 31, and this is what it says to us. "And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem." Do you see that? They spoke to him. What did they speak to him about? They spoke to him about Calvary. Moses and Elijah spoke of his exodus, as the word really is, his exodus. This is very significant. Yes, the exodus in Egypt was but a prelude and a type of this great exodus which Jesus would accomplish at Jerusalem. What a mighty deliverance was wrought by him there. But the conversation tells us that the one great theme of the ages is the cross of Calvary and the Christ of the cross. They spoke to him about going to Calvary or by paying the price for our redemption once for all on the cross of Calvary. The death of the Lord Jesus is the recurring theme of all Scripture. Is the death of our Savior a constant theme of our conversation, of our preaching? Do we glory in the cross of Christ? Do we preach a Christ that died upon a cross to pay the price for all our sins once for all, past, present, and future? And we need to understand that. Fourthly, the sacrifices of the Mosaic economy and the hopes kindled by the prophets all found their fulfillment, their complete realization in the Lord Jesus. We've got to get that. They were fulfilled. They were accomplished in him. Yes, Moses represented the sacrifices, the types of the old Jewish economy. Elijah represented the prophets, all the Mosaic types and the prophetic ministries of the old dispensation pointed forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is as though Moses said to the Lord Jesus, "We have slain the Lamb. We thought of you." And through Elijah said, when we prophesied, we did so in anticipation of your coming. We foretold the prophets. And what does Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 say? God in these last times has spoken through Jesus. He spoke in times past to the prophets, but now he has spoken through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, above everything else. Number 5. Our saved loved ones are safe in God's keeping and are happy, conscious, and recognizable. Why do I say that this morning? Moses and Elijah were still alive, and Peter, James, and John recognized them. Identity of personality is therefore maintained in heaven. We shall see the recognize those who have gone before us, those who have died in the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall know them. The grave is not the end. Beyond the valley lies the glorious palace of the King. Oh, the joy that there awaits us when we reach the golden shore and we clasp the hands of loved ones there with them to part no more. That's the promise. That's the promise. Jesus died to guarantee the promise that though Christians die, yet shall we live, and he that believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this morning? Number 6. Here on the mount is the foregleam, or shall I say, the promise of the Lord's coming again, the coming of the saints and of in his power and glory. Moses and Elijah are representative men. Moses died 1,500 years before he had been buried by God. Deuteronomy 34 verses 5 and 6 tell us that he was buried. He died and God had him buried there. Elijah had not died at all. He was translated 2 Kings 2:11. He went to heaven in a whirlwind. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, there are two classes of people that he will come for: the dead in Christ, the saints who died, and we who are alive. That's what the scriptures tell us so plainly and so clearly. And we read this in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 14 to 18. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say by the word of the Lord, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. You see, when the Lord returns, there are those saints who will be sleeping in the grave and those who will be alive to welcome him when he comes back. And then we turn again to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, and I read from verses 51 again. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your sting? That's what we say. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There we have it. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to hear that clearly. Number 7, we too may be transfigured now and we certainly shall be transfigured when Jesus comes again. And I want to read these words to you as we close this morning from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to read them from verse 18. And this is what it says to us. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you get that? It tells us the secret of our transformation now. And then we turn again to 1 John, and I want us to get the full thing of 1 John here, because it speaks so clearly to us in 1 John chapter 3, and I'm going to read there from verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And this assures us of the fact of our glorious transformation then. Now we've been transformed. When we see him, we'll be changed completely into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. I trust this morning that our study together has encouraged you. I trust this morning it's inspired you, that above everything else, what happened there on the Mount of Transfiguration, we will see Jesus and Jesus only. Because what counts most is Jesus alone. Have I put my full trust? Do I believe in Jesus that he's the divine Son of the living God? I pray you'll be encouraged today in all that you do by this word about study about the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. Pray that people be encouraged today, also knowing that you are working in us through the power of your Spirit, transforming us into the glory of the Lord. And one day when he comes again, when we see him, we shall be like him. We shall be changed. And Father, we thank you for that. If there's any person this morning that doesn't know the Lord Jesus, I pray today will be the day when you'll open your heart, you'll open your life, you'll allow the light of the gospel to shine into your life and say, Lord Jesus, I realize I need you today to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. Just pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you to be the divine Son of God. I believe you died on Calvary's cross for all my sin. Thank you for forgiving me. I open my heart, my life to you. I invite you to come in to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. Thank you for doing that this morning. Now I am a child of God. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. If you need any more help or counseling, won't you please contact Radio Pulpit on 021 1805744. 021 1805744. They'll only be too glad to help you. Or you can contact me, Pastor Brian de Villiers, at CRC Cape Town, and that is in 021 552 4096. 552 4096. God bless you. Have an incredible day. I thank you.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.